This morning's message, I know I'm going to just going to narrow it down. Don't worry, don't stress. But I really, really want to bring a lot, because a lot of what I was speaking just then, it just kind of connects with what I just felt this word was to bring. And so this year I've been on a bit of a journey, and I've really seen actually something that I had on my fasting list that was personal to me, that I just gave to God as just a, God, just do something in this area, happened yesterday, which is what? October. So, you know, and there's so many times we can just give up on hope going, oh, God didn't hear it, but it was just like, I just an answered prayer, and I was like, I put that on my fast. So just believe God, just keep believing that God's going to do some incredible stuff. But this year, my journey this year is really becoming something that Tawana and I have been really finding how God is going to unfold this in our church. But it really is about renewing our mind. And I know that we've got that idea. But I've had to really go on a journey this year about understanding what I've allowed to come into an agreement with. So this is a personal journey that I've been in. As I was just unfolding some of that just in my personal walk, I really just, the Holy Spirit led me back to this story. So it's in Genesis chapter 2. I know you've all read it. I know most of us know it off by heart. Genesis chapter 2. It's this conversation that I want to really draw an attention to. And it says in Genesis chapter 2, this is right at the beginning. God's just created all the animals and given everything over, and just the Garden of Eden is done. World is fixed. It's all sorted out. He's done all of that. He's created Eve, which is the greatest thing he ever did. Amen. Okay. I just lost all the women. Girls, I need you. Okay, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you will eat of it, you shall surely die. Pretty straightforward, right? Wasn't exactly a guessing game. Eat of all the fruit, eat of it all the tree, but this one tree, just don't touch it. Easy. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Can I just stop there? God made Satan. So who has authority over anything that we make? Who has copyrights over everything that you create? You do. So God created the enemy. That's a whole different preaching on why. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, having a conversation with him, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took its fruit and she ate it. Listen here. She gave to her husband, and her husband ate it. Didn't force feed him. Didn't make him do it. Just when you all want to give Eve the credit for all the sin in the world, he easily walked along and just took it. Okay, all right, I'll keep preaching. I just wanted to make sure you all got that, men. She gave it to her husband with her and he ate it. What I want to really show you this morning is to want you to remember this statement, is that sin actually begins in the belief and not in the actual behavior. Can someone give me a mighty amen? Sin actually happens in the belief, not in the actual. We just think, oh, well, they fell into sin. No one falls headfirst into sin. Sin has been starting way, way, way. It's been progressing way, way, way. Where you want to pinpoint it, it comes out of a belief that you and I have gone. But I want to break down the conversation with you this morning of what Eve had. Now, most of us, me especially, when I get to heaven, I want to find Eve and I want to have a conversation with her. and just go through, excuse me, like, I just think that every woman that gets to heaven, Eve just runs for her life and goes, I don't want to hear it again. I know I stuffed it. I think she just runs for the hills and goes, just don't tell them where I am. Just running. But I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go look for that woman. I just have a few questions to ask her. But anyway, let's break down the conversation that happened between Eve. Because it didn't go for very long, this conversation. There's only a couple of scriptures in this whole conversation. And the consequences was history defining. Amen. We live out into this world because of this conversation that she had and she partook in. That is what has set us for the rest of mankind over one conversation. So we try to blame everything else, but usually it's come from a pure conversation that we've had, specifically usually with the enemy, or we've been giving it to something that's been coming apart. It's no more than just a simple conversation. Satan never forced Eve to eat the fruit. He never said, here, take it, I'm making you take it. Satan never enticed her and said to her, you would only if you taste this fruit, you'll know how amazing it is. He never enticed her to do anything. He never forced her to do it. All Satan actually did was questioned her. He said, did God really say you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? The only thing Satan did was ask her a question, for which most of us is all Satan can do, is question us. What did God actually say? Did he really mean that, Eve? Are you sure? So the very first thing that we hear out of the spoken words of the enemy, the first words that the enemy spoke into humanity is a question. Is that God? Did God really say that? You and I know that our hardest times has been, maybe that wasn't God. Was that God? Was that not God? Maybe that's not God. Who's making us confuse them when it's God and not God? He didn't go and try to paint the fruit and go, listen, you have no idea that if you do this, it's going to... He just said, did God actually just say you can't eat of the fruit? But what he's actually asking Eve is this. Actually, Eve, tell me what you know about what God has said. Because all he said... You shall not, did he indeed say you shall not eat of the tree? All he's asking her, Eve, what do you know about this tree that God's saying? That's all he was doing. All he wanted to know from Eve was this. What do you know, Eve, and how much are you willing to hold on to what you know? I'll say that again, ICC. What do you know, Eve, and how much are you willing to hold on to what you actually do know? Because sin begins in our belief and not in our behavior. Can someone give me an amen? So therefore, Satan went out and said, I need to know what you believe, because on what you believe, then I can bring an outcome of what you're going to do. Can someone come speak to me this morning? He wasn't worried about anything else. He wasn't trying to tempt her to go, oh, this fruit is amazing. If you only tried the fruit, you'd only understand. He just went straight, what do you know about what God has said? What do you know about what God has said? He was asking a reply. See, his only intention is to find out, what do you know? And how much are you willing to hold on to what you know? That's all he was trying to ask, is how much are you willing to hold on to what you know? Can you be convinced to abandon what you know? Can you be convinced to abandon what you know, Eve? God commanded, do not eat, otherwise there'll be consequences, and the consequence is death. Sex is an immediate pleasure that we have in this world, but there are consequences for doing that out of sight of the marriage bed. Drugs, alcohol, pornography gives us instant gratification, but there are consequences in our health, our marriage, and our families. Excessive chocolate gives us instant gratitude, but its consequences will show up on the scales the very next day. Someone say amen. And all Satan wants to know is, can I mold you? Can I convince you to abort what you know and want to hold on to today? And can I move you away from what God's truth is? That's all Satan was trying to do. Can I move you away from what God said? That was all the enemy was trying to do in that one small conversation. Can I move you away, Eve, from what you know God has spoken? From the very beginning, all the enemy has tried to do is break up your relationship with God. That is all his one intention is to keep telling you to break up that relationship he has with you. The only thing that God has requested was that you don't touch the tree. And up to then, God had showed Adam, listen, I'm going to give you everything. He created the garden. He created the garden with rivers in it that went in four different directions. He created it with rivers of gold, and he created it with all these things. He was saying to Adam, I want you to get that everything that I'm giving you, this is for you. This is for you to advance. This is for you to walk out in dominion. I want you to walk out, and he said, I want you to have dominion over the field of the beast. I want you to have dominion over everything. But then all of this, he turned around and he said, but there's a tree that stood right in the middle, that has a purpose that is greater than everything that's going to happen in your world. And the purpose of this tree is for your wisdom and your truth. He was saying to him, I'm going to create everything, everything here, Adam, everything, 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 everything is for you. But there's one thing, this tree of knowledge, I don't want you to touch it. Now, you and I, we know that's normal. You tell a child not to touch it, everything inside of them is going to go touch it, amen? So I think that's why the serpent went to the woman. Man, work with me, just take it, acknowledge it. He goes to Eve. So, but Adam is sitting there and God's saying, everything in this, everything is yours. But this tree of knowledge, I want you to come back to me for that. I don't want you to touch it. I don't want you to go there. See, the tree in your life might be all your girlfriends. What do they think about it? What do they say you should be doing? Or maybe your colleagues. Or maybe Google. That's where do you get your knowledge from? Where are you getting your wisdom from? Where are you getting your decision-making from? Come on, ICC, where do we go? Most, we just get it. But God's saying, I actually want you to realize that that part of your life, I want you to keep coming back to me. I want you to keep coming back to me. For wisdom and knowledge and truth, that's got to come back to me. For everything else, you go out, you seek, you get greater, you get take dominion of it. But for truth and knowledge and understanding, you need to come back for me with that. He's like, I'm going to make it there. I'm going to make it available to you. Google, the internet, social media, your girlfriends, your colleagues, they're all going to be available to you. But I want you to override its power, and I want you to keep coming back to me, because I want you to get the truth from me and me alone. Can someone give me a mighty amen? The tree's going to offer fruit to you. The tree's going to give you things that looks like it's going to give you sustainment. But I want you to know that I will be the only one who will speak and only speak truth into your life. So you can go onto anything and that will give you what you want to hear. But sometimes we need to go to the root, and God's going to say, I don't want you to do that. I want you to hold on to my plan. I want you to understand that though it feels like it's tearing, it's not going to tear. Just because God said no to this doesn't mean he's going to say no forever. He's saying no to this, but the truth is that this is just a season. Can you give me a mighty amen? But if I Google my season, it's going to give me definitions of why I'm going through what I'm going through. And God says, that's got nothing to do with it. I want you to come to me. That one thing, he could have removed it, but he was like, no, Adam, you've got to make a decision. That for that, you have to find me for this. I want to keep that sacred between you and me, Adam. That's got to be between you and God. The tree of life was the very thing that reminds you. It doesn't matter what is looking like in the outside. It's always going to remind you, God has got this. This tree was establishing the relationship between God and man that nothing would ever be able to replace. The tree of knowledge establishes truth. The world will tell you that is impossible. You can't trust that. You can't do that. That is impossible. That's looking at your circumstance. You cannot do this. This is not looking for you. But the truth in God says that he can do all things that is impossible to man. That's what the truth says. And I can Google anything I want and it's not going to tell me that. But my Bible tells me that the truth is that he can do all things that is impossible to him, to man. But all things are possible to him who believes. That's the only truth that's only going to come from the word of God. Because he can take what is dead and bring it back to life. He can take what is crushed and he can restore. He can take what is over and says, I will bring victory. I will do what knowledge and truth from this world cannot do and cannot be understood. Can someone give me an amen? He's saying, you don't get it. I don't operate under the knowledge of the making sense for you. Because under my knowledge, you are going to learn how to work supernaturally. I'm going to cause disease to leave, Charlie, because you know who I am. Not because of what you understand from a truth that you've heard of, but I want you to get to know that I have a truth, that I have been striped, and I've got stripes that you can declare healing from. I know that I have a truth that will surpass all the understanding that you have. Human knowledge doesn't understand how the ocean split in two and the people of God walk through it. It doesn't make sense to the human knowledge. Human knowledge can't explain. Human knowledge cannot explain how the moon stopped and the sun stopped over 3 days. No one can explain that. That's under the human knowledge. Human knowledge can't understand how did a fish show up and have money in it. Human knowledge cannot explain it. But guess what? The Bible says I've got an explanation for it because I don't operate under the knowledge of this world. I'm superior to this because I'm its creator and it will speak what our God speaks. But you've got to come back to me for that. You got to keep coming back to me for that. That is the one thing that God said. Do everything, but for truth and knowledge, you've got to come back to me. Outside of this will not make sense. But God was specific. He said, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge, you shall not eat. He didn't say, I hope you get this. He said to Adam, don't touch it. Just don't touch it. Do not eat it. He said, because if you do, there'll be consequences. But I want to go back to the conversation that Satan had with Eve. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden, said Satan to Eve. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, no, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, we can't eat. What amazed me as I read this is Satan said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And she said, no, we just can't eat of the one that's in the midst of the garden. Listen to this conversation. Could you put the scriptures back up? I don't know if you can do. The thing that amazed me is that when Satan said to her, you can't eat of every tree, she says, no, we just can't eat of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. She just refers to this tree as a tree it's just a tree that's in the middle of the garden. She has not understood what the tree signified. For her, it's just a tree. It's in the middle of the garden, somewhere over there. And because of that, Satan was able to do what he did. Because of that, see, he heard her say, oh no, he didn't say we couldn't eat of all of it. He just said we can't eat the one in the midst of the garden. She instantly devalued what its purpose was. Are you here with me, ICC? Instantly, it's just one of the trees in the middle of the garden. But I want to show you what Satan actually said. Satan said this, you will not surely die. Can you go to verse 5? You will not surely die. This is what Satan says. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan identifies the tree that it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve just says it's a tree. It's only just a tree in the middle of it. But the enemy says to her back, actually, that's a tree that will distinguish knowledge for you. And he called it, this is a tree that was going to bring, giving you knowledge of good and evil. He knew exactly what that tree was for. He acknowledged that it was a tree of knowledge. See, because Satan knows what God is doing, he knows everything that God made was for a purpose. See, the enemy knows everything God did was for a purpose. This tree had a purpose. It was created for a purpose. And in one full sentence, Satan was able to identify to Eve, this tree, listen, girl, has a purpose. Its purpose is to bring knowledge of good and evil. She just called it another tree. But he said, no, that's a tree that will open your eyes to good and evil. He understood that tree has a purpose. In one full sentence, he was able to identify to Eve, this tree has a purpose and you have no idea about it. I'll say that again. In one full sentence, Satan was able to identify to Eve, this tree has a purpose and you have no idea of the power of this tree. Instantly, he told and spoke back to her, this tree has power. This tree has a lot to do and you have no clue of its power that it holds. Satan knows that God would have not said no to something unless it had a greater purpose for it. He knows that God would not have said no to something unless it had greater purpose. He knew that the purpose of the tree was to release a level of wisdom greater than anything that they could obtain in the natural realm. And Satan went directly to that one point, the one thing that would keep us directly connected to God. The thing is, the enemy keeps coming back to us and he keeps saying, you don't really know what that means, do you? You really don't know how valuable you are in God's eyes. That's why he can talk to you and make you feel disqualified, because you don't have an understanding of just how great you and I are. Are you here with me? He will come to us and say, did God really say that? He will question you. No, it doesn't make sense, but I know that my God has got a plan. That will disqualify him for the rest of it, because you know that there's power even in the unknowing. You know there's power in that season. But he will come and he'll question you. He'll come and he'll just see, what do you know? Do you know that this season has power? Do you know that this season has authority? Do you really know that this is a season where God is going to grow you and move you and shift you? Do you really know that? Because if you don't have an understanding of that, I can take you off and I can make you abort every dream you've ever had. I can disqualify you for this race. In this one conversation, Satan never said anything else, but he actually spoke back the words of God. He said, actually, Eve, this tree has a purpose. It's a purpose of knowledge of good and evil, and you have no idea. But see what God spoke. God didn't say it's a tree, it's a guessing game. He said its purpose is for truth and knowledge. And I don't want you to touch it. I want you to come to me for that. Every time you need truth, go to God. God, I don't get this. God, I don't get this. God, how long? You just got to keep going to God. Because the truth will come out when you go to God. The truth will always come out when you go to God. And it devalues every time we go to seek it out from someone else. It devalues itself, its power, when you go, oh. One of the things I learned in these coming months is like every time I start to put myself down, it's something I've done. It's something I mustn't have done something right. That's the enemy devaluing me. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the truth. I may not feel strong, but I can run to him as a strong tower. I may feel weak, but in my weakness, he's made strong. That's the truth. That's the truth. And he's the only one who's going to be speaking the truth to me. That's why he said, you've got to keep coming back to me. I've got to be that point of reference for you. I've got to be that point of reference. For years and years and years and years and years, I kept hearing the same thing over my health. I kept hearing the same thing. There's no cure. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. There was times that I would be in the office on my knees going, God, I can't walk. I'm in so much pain. And I know you guys have the same testimony. And even when Lena gave me her story, and she said a simple statement, if you do not have the peace of God, you do not do it. I was booked for surgery and I said, I'm tired of this, God. And every doctor in Newcastle, I'm telling you, every doctor of the highest specialist said to me, Morella, you need to have this surgery. And I was like, God, I just don't. And we were in a little circle. She said, if you do not have the peace, you do not do it. And she gave a testimony of why she said that. And I said, God, I'm angry at you. I don't have your peace, but I'm tired of living in this pain. So I walked away and I said, if what you said tonight, if you said through Lena's testimony, if you said to me that I don't have, I said, God, I've got no more energy to fight this. I've got no more energy to fight this. I said, you need to open the door. And 2 years before, I'd been given a number of a specialist in Sydney. And when I called him 2 years ago, he was booked out for 3 years. I said to the specialist, God, I said to God, this is how I work with God. I don't overcomplicate stuff. I'm as simple as they come. God, if I find his number, I'll ring him, but I'm not canceling my surgery. I was booked in for surgery on the 15th of December because every single doctor I'd been to said to me, there's nothing else we can do. And I had this one little voice from someone in church. If you don't have the peace of God, you don't do it. I was like, God. I went home. I searched my house. I tipped everything upside down. I could not find that business card. So I said, that's God. That's God. Because I'm not over. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Can't do it anymore, God. Can't find his business card. That means I can do the surgery. It's like, okay. I still didn't have a peace. I was like drumming her voice out, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about peace of God anymore. I can't find it. I come back to work. I come back to church. I was tidying up my office 3 days later. I dropped an old diary and out comes his business card. I looked at the business card on the floor and I was like, God, that's still not a sign. You know when you're so exhausted, you're like, it's got to be plain, God. I'm so... For everyone who's blonde in the house, please don't get at me. But I was blonde. I'm like, God, I'm not getting this. So I said, well, last time I called this doctor, he was booked for 3 years. I'm not cancelling my surgery, God. I'm not cancelling my surgery. But my cousin's voice, if you don't have the peace of God, don't do it. I have the peace of God. I rang him. He's going to be booked out for sure. Rang. He's going to be booked out. Picks up. She said, send me all your information, years and years and years of paperwork of all the yeses and the noes and the impossibilities. He said to me, can you come here next week? I said, you sure? He's like, yep, tell her to come next week. Not cancelling my, I drove all the way to see, I'm not cancelling my surgery, God, I'm not cancelling my surgery, not cancelling my surgery. But I'll go. I'll just go out of obedience. I'll go. Anyone who's had to do anything with specialists, you know that 15 minutes you're in and you're out and you pay $500 and don't get anywhere. I was in his office for 3.5 hours. He said to me, I've never seen anyone with such a bad case. So to have surgery in this, because it's an elective surgery, he said to me, I knew that you had to book for at least 6-7 months in advance. And I was now a month and a half off my booking. I never told him I'd booked the surgery. Never told him. But I was walking out, I was like, I had my surgery booked. Her voice, don't have the peace of God, don't do this. It's okay, I'm going to book the surgery, it's booked. After 3.5 hours in the specialist, and this is not even on my papers, he said to me, can you come back in a month's time and I'll operate? And he said, and what I'm going to do is something that no doctor is going to do here in Australia, but I guarantee you that this disease will leave. I just stood there and I burst into tears. My mum was with me because she'd spent years hearing the same. I have papers after papers. I've got x-rays after x-rays showing this growth of this disease. And here I have a doctor who's saying to me, I guarantee you. Because one girl said to me in a service, if you don't have the peace of God, don't do it. I'm saying to you this morning, if you don't have the peace of God, you need to, I wouldn't have found that from any doctor. I wouldn't have found it from anyone. And people love me and have embraced me through it. Been seen through every 3 years I had surgery for it. Every 3 years they just kept burning what they could. They were saying there's so much damage in there. We don't even know if you're going to be pain-free ever. There's so much scar tissue inside there. We can't guarantee you anything. Truth is, he's always going to be my healer. He's always going to heal. He's always going to override the doctors. He's always going to see. Because he overrides everything that is written on paper. with his blood. His blood surpassed everything. But the truth is, for me, the truth was, you don't have God's peace. You don't do this. That needed to be the truth. And like I said to you, I just came in one, God, I can't change it. I can't do it. But I just kept moving in God. Just kept listening to her voice. If you don't have a peace, you just don't do it. I don't have a peace, God, but I'm going to keep going. I don't have a peace, but I'm going to keep going. I don't know what your story is this morning, but some of you have gone into agreement with the enemy with so many lies. You don't even know what the truth is anymore. You have no idea what the truth is. The enemy's been speaking and devaluing you and your situation so much that you don't even know who you are anymore. Some of you walking into church going, I really don't know who I am anymore. And that's purely because you've come into an agreement with the enemy and his lies. But see, he knows the purpose of the tree of good and evil. He knew it had a purpose. He comes to you because he knows you have purpose. He comes and speaks to you because he knows you have purpose. He comes and he directs you and he attacks you because he knows you have purpose. He's not out fighting the world because he knows that they've got no clue of their purpose. So he's not out attacking the world. That is why they look like they're prospering. That is why they look like they're flourishing, because he's not attacking them. Because they don't know their value and purpose. But you and I do. We do know that we have value. We do know we have purpose. We do know we have a reason for existence. That's why he comes and attacks us. That's why he comes and attacks us financially, because he's saying, do you really believe that your tithes and offering are actually working? Do you really believe that God can get you through this financial situation? Do you really? Yes, I do. Because the truth is this, that he says if I give, he would give back to me, rolling, overflowing in abundance. That's the truth. Maybe not this week, maybe not next week, but the rolling over, overflowing of abundance, that's coming to me. That's the truth. But if I go to my bank account, it's not the truth. It's showing me a very different truth. That's why God said, I need you to find out. God, the enemy identified it. That tree has a purpose. And I want to take you away from that purpose. That is why our friends that are not in Christ are flourishing in our eyes. Because he's not attacking them. But what they are going through is just diminishing everything else. There's no eternal value in that. The enemy's not attacking them. That's why their businesses are flourishing. That's why it looks like they're all getting the healing. My chapter for that season was for me to walk out and go, so now, every time. And this only happened in September that I went and had surgery. And I said to you, the first time in over 15 years, I've been pain-free. But see, not even 3 months later, I was severely attacked by the enemy. I don't know if many people know, wasn't able to come to church instantly. I had surgeons run to my desk because he's like, after 20 years, he's like something. Basically, a clot had lodged itself in my heart after my second surgery. And every surgeon said to me, it's a miracle you didn't leave, because as soon as you would have walked out and tripped over, that would have burst and you would have eternally bled. And here I was screaming, God, why have you allowed this to happen? And there was always a purpose, always a purpose. You don't have to understand it. There's just a purpose behind it. But I have to hold on to the truth. Even when I was in the second surgery, I was like, God, what on earth is happening? He just sat there. I'm Italian, so he knows that I yell and scream most of the time. I think he just gives me grace to just go, throw a tantrum. I'm always going to be here. And I was getting angry and I was crying. I was like, God, this is not making any sense. You know, you healed me. Why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? Why am I suffering this way again? This time the enemy was mad. He was mad that testimony finally came to a conclusion. For 15 years I'd been able to say, trusting God for healing, trusting God for healing. And then that story came with its healing. And then after that, the enemy was mad. And the doctor was like, Sue, I've never seen this. Called three of his colleagues, never seen this happen in all my medical history, never seen this happen anywhere. Never, never, never. And that's when I realized that God's truth is always superior to any truth. But you've got to know the truth. And I just pray this morning you got a bit of truth set back into your spirit. Amen. I just want to, we're not going to call the worship team. We're going to leave Jeffrey up here. Let's just stand to our feet this morning. I know I've gone way over time. But I just believe that so much of my battle this year was because my truth wasn't grounded in the real knowledge that God has got this. My truth wasn't, I allowed the enemy to devalue me. I allowed man to devalue me. Every time I got a rejection from something or someone, I allowed that to bring a foundation inside of me. And I just began to believe this year that I'm not good enough. See, the enemy knows what hurts. He knows what hurts. He knows what hurts. And he'll just keep pushing, 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 pushing. It's like that, you know, when you've got a bruise and it just keeps going in the same spot, it hurts, and just that constant. It's like the enemy knows that bruise and just keeps going back and keeps going back into that one, just keeps pushing it in. Well, can I prophetically speak that God wants to bring healing to that area of bruise and says, no more, you can touch that. That area is going to be healed in Jesus' name. I'm going to heal that. When the enemy goes to put his finger into that point in your life, you know, you can't. There's this, you're that. Every time it won't hurt. Like, oh, that's okay. That's okay. God says it's for an appointed season. That's okay. Because God's got a plan. So when he'll go to press it, he'll be like, but you're supposed to feel broken and hurt and pain. But God's going to heal it this morning. If that's you, if you've got a bruise that the enemy keeps going back to the same spot, same spot, same spot. Can I just have everyone close their eyes for a moment? Someone is so strung up on their image, on the way they look. I tend to think this is often girls, but I've realized in the last couple of months that this happens to guys too. Your self-image. So maybe for girls, you're just thinking, I'm not pretty enough and no one's going to want it because I'm not that. There's just been a devaluation on your look. But for men, the word image is coming into my spirit. It's because you've been betraying an image that's non-existent in your life. There's an image that you've been wanting to have, but God is not. You feel that the enemy keeps pulling you down and keeps saying, you can't. Why are you? You can't lift yourself to that image. Well, every eye's closed. Is that you this morning? If that is you, and I've been in that altar call, if that's you this morning, I want you to lift your hand. I want truth to settle in. Is that where the enemy's been bruising you, going, look at you, who would want you? Why on earth is that you? Look at you, you're not good enough. Maybe it's your weight issue. Maybe it's been a brokenness, whatever that is, but it's an image thing this morning. If that's you, lift your hand. Come on, let's get some truth into these bruises this morning. Let's get some harsh reality truths in there this morning. If that's you, lift your hand. If that is your self-image this morning, amen, amen. Come on, let's just go. The enemy's done. He's not going to push it in that spot anymore. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, if you've got an image issue this morning, if you've been trying to betray something and it's not happening this morning, lift it up. Lift it up. I want truth. Amen, amen. Anybody else? Come on. This is the house of God and I want the truth of God. He gives you your image. He gives you your stability. He says that you are valuable. He says to you that you have purpose and destiny. He says, I knew you for before you were even made. I gave you creation. I gave you breath. He says, you are valuable in my eyes. This truth has to be set free in you this morning. It's got nothing to do with your physical element. God's saying, I love you, and the person that I will bring will love you exactly for the person that you are. Come on, where are my great men of God that's saying, I've got a self-image that I've just allowed the enemy to take that away. I thought that God was going to do this. I thought that God was going to allow this. I thought that God was going to shift this. Come on, where are my great men of God and saying, no, my image is established in God and the truth of God, and my image is established in who he's spoken over my. And he says, I'm the head and not the tail. He says, I'm prosperous in all that I do. He says that he will walk out with me, and every step that I take, he will ordain it, and he will prosper it, and he will open the walk as I walk. He says, I will speak and things will come. That's your identity. That's your image that you need to hold on to this morning. Is that you? Begin to let that truth establish itself in you. Come on, where's the Rhema word for you this morning? Where's the Rhema word? Where is the truth that God has spoken over you? Holy Spirit, I speak to you right now. I ask you to give us back the truth. I get us to speak back the truth. What is that Rhema word? What is that scripture that you need to hold on to for the rest of 2017? There's nothing that's going to shake you. What is that scripture? I can do all things. There is nothing that God cannot do. What is that scripture for you? I believe Him. I love Him. He's my strong tower. He's my refuge. He's my healer. He's my peacemaker. He's my restorer. What is that truth for you this morning? And let it become a Rhema word this morning. Speak it out. That's me. That's my God. He spoke that over me. He spoke purpose. He spoke destiny. He spoke reality into me. I'm walking out and I shall prosper in everything that I do. I will go in, I shall be blessed. I'll go out, I shall be blessed. That's what the Lord God has spoken over my declaration. That is my Rhema word. It's a word that's for me this morning. And nobody can steal that from me. I'm going to be a blessing. I will be a blessing. I will bless you for the rest of my days. I will see nations come to pass. I will see dreams come to pass. I speak forth children and restoration of marriages. Speak it out. What is your Rhema word this morning? What is your Rhema word? The Bible says that it is a living word. It's not something that was written. It is a living word. It is a word that is a two-edged sword. So sometimes it's going to be painful because it's truth. A two-edged sword is going to hurt, but it is truth, and it will restore the truth back. The enemy knows you have purpose. The enemy knows you have purpose. That is why he's attacking you. He knows you have purpose. That is why he is allowing these things to happen. But God says that nothing can get past him. Every storm that you're going through, remember I spoke about the enemy can't swim. So God is going to lead you straight up to the waters. He's going to walk you straight through to the storm, but he will part the Red Sea. He will cause rivers to come in the desert season. He will cause the wilderness to be victorious. He will cause the broken to be restored. He will cause the grave to be emptied in the name of Jesus. But if this is the last sermon you would hear, because the Bible tells me that nobody was promised a tomorrow. And just a few days ago, in Las Vegas, the hospital went in just of a normal day. They did not realize that they would be life changed. They did not realize that over 600 people would be coming into their doors instantly. People were going just to a music festival, just doing their own thing, celebrating an end of season or an end of year. They did not realize that was their last moment. You and I do not know when our end is. If you do not know the God that I'm speaking to, if you do not know, if you do not have the truth of this moment, that God is real, God is real, God is real, God is real, and you will face him. You will face him if you face him. If you were to be at the judgment seat this very day, would you meet him as your father? If this was the last sermon you would hear, I want to make sure that you would know that you would go before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and you would hear those mighty words. Come, come, my faithful servant, good and faithful servant, come. But if you are in this room right now and you do not know that God that I've been speaking, the truth that this God exists, that this God is real, that this God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. He went to the cross on the truth that he would take it all for you. He said, doesn't matter what sin you're going to bring to me, the cross has craved it, the cross has carried it, the cross has bared it, the cross has gone there. That is what you said, the cross before me, the world is behind me. That's the truth this morning. That's the truth. The world is behind you, but the cross is always there. There is no sin. There is no past that can take you away. If you don't know, if you don't know this God, I ask you to lift your hand, because I need you to know this God for truth. For real, he is here. Is there anyone in this room that does not know God yet? And all I want to encourage you, ICC, is this. When you walk out tomorrow and you go to your business and your workplaces, there's someone that's going to be standing with you that doesn't have this truth. that doesn't know this truth that you've got today. And let's become people that will just speak the truth. Can I pray with you? Because I know a truth that overrides what you're going through right now. But we can't be those people unless you and I have a truth. You know that you know. You know that you know God is for you. The Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say no weapon formed against you ever. It says that every weapon that is formed against you, it will not prosper. That's what it says. Let's read it. Let's get this root truth. It says that every weapon that is formed against you, it will not prosper. It will come, but it will not prosper. It'll attack, but it will not prosper. It will try to damage, but it will not prosper. It will come against you, but it will not prosper. That's the truth. The truth is it will not prosper. It devalues as it comes closer to you. What is your truth this morning? I encourage you over the next couple of days before we meet again, get into the Word. Get into the Word and get a truth. We think sometimes we need all this Bible reading and sometimes all we need is a scripture. Sometimes it's just a song, and all songs here at ICC, we try to make straight driven out of the Word of God. Bring that into truth. Hold it, hold it, hold it. It's your truth, it's your truth, it's your truth, it's your truth, it's your truth. And nothing the enemy can say can devalue that. He knew the purpose of the tree. He was well aware of its purpose. Don't let him abort that. Don't let him steal that. It's the truth. In Jesus' name, I speak a rhema word over every person this week, Holy Spirit. Protect us as we go out into our workplaces, God. Protect our senior pastor as he continues on this journey, Lord God. Give him a moment of just seeing the blessings and the favor of God, Holy Spirit. Father, this is your season. As we come, we start to draw this year down. We go stronger. We're going harder, Holy Spirit. We're going up, Lord God. We just speak strength. We speak prosperity. We speak blessings, Holy Spirit, upon our house, upon our church, upon everybody in this house, Lord, that they're hearing right now. We cover them with a prosperity blessing, Lord God, a protection. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Please come into agreement and say, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday if you can. God bless you.